The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. The broadcast is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. The beautiful game from her point of view. Amy, Shereen, Signe, Claire, Riet, just to name a few. Broadening perspectives, horizons, and minds. You're tuned into the broadcast on Footy Prime.
These merchants of badassery.
In like vlog format.
Bye.
Thank you. I'm not familiar with cocaine.
I have moon mist soap.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. If anybody knows what moon mist is, Amy, do you know as an almost maritimer?
Right. It's like it's a famous ice cream flavor, correct?
Yes. So it's like purple, green. Blue. Yellow, blue. It's like all of the colors. Actually,
okay. Pastel-y shades. Yeah.
It has all the pastel shades in it and it's delicious. Mm. And Wanderers do like a jersey or like a goalie jersey in moon mist this year? Or was that a joke?
Oh, I don't know. But you know what?
But their partner is cows. So yeah. Cows have that.
Tides partner is cows.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Do they have... Oh, Cows Wanderers, you're asking. Oh, sorry, you're asking Wanderers. I don't know about men. They play soccer, apparently.
Well, our friend, fellow analyst, Jessica Lisi, actually, I might be saying too much here, so I won't, but she has a link to Halifax, and yes. She was talking about moon mist, and I think it was the Rise kit that maybe reminded her of the moon mist ice cream.
Yes.
Even though it's like opposite. It's like.
Yeah, but like the colors and I don't know, it evoked something that made her think that. So we're uniting the coasts here on the broadcast. Hopefully people like these types of intros. Yes.
We're the uniter of people.
Yes. So this is the Broads. We've got Signe Butler. We've got Shereen Ahmed. I'm Amy Walsh. And the broadcast, obviously part of the Footy Prime family, and BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime and the broadcast. And exciting things in the way of sponsorship for the podcast this week because Tim Hortons has come on board. So check that out. You'll probably hear a commercial throughout. But we're talking week two in NSL action, a little bit of a Women's Champions League roundup as well, because Ashley Lawrence, as much of a rocky start as it was for her this season with both club and country, is through to the final where Lyon will face Barcelona. So Vanessa Gill, a casualty there, as well as Liv Smith. But all the best to Ashley, who will be in that final. So on that note, let's get to the action, shall we? So let's do a quick score roundup here. So we had, listen, Signe, this qualifies as a barn burner, doesn't it?
It absolutely does.
It was a barn burner.
The
and
first
it was,
half was a barn burner.
I know. It was crazy.
It was. I tweeted that out as soon as I could. I've been waiting this whole season to quote you. Say barn burner.
I did not invent barn burner for, yes, we all know. It existed well before, but in a soccer context, we don't get to talk about it very much, right?
Not very much, but it was. There have been goals so far in the sophomore season of NSL. So the match of which we are speaking was where the Ottawa Rapid at home, their pride match, their home opener, they trounced the Calgary Wild 5-2. And this was a tight affair. Early going, there were lots of goals and he kind of traded blows back and forth. We'll get into it in a second. And then the second match on the Saturday saw the Roses dominate the Rise, their home opener at Stade Boreal 4-0, where we saw Minas have an outstanding match. Elise Bennett has arrived emphatically in NSL. But yeah, the Rise struggled in that contest. So that midweek match coming up, where we will see the aforementioned Ottawa Rapid go up against, again, the traveling Rise side. So they'll look to redeem themselves Wednesday. That'll be on TSN. And then the final match of the weekend, Sigs, you and I were on this call as well, saw a 0-0 draw between AFC Toronto and the Halifax Tides. So our two unbeaten teams, correct?
Three unbeaten teams now.
Yes, but of the
match. Battle of the yes.
Right, yeah. And then AFC, perhaps the narrative out of that one, while it was a clean sheet, I think, and both goalkeepers performed, we'll dive into that a little bit more, all the details about it, they remain winless at BMO Field. So very interesting there. So why don't we dive into the match, Ziggs? We are on the latter of those three matches, the latter two. The first match, that Ottawa Rapid, where they just seemed to score at will. I mean, DB Pridham still held off the score sheet, but I think the big story out of this one was Kira Mellenhorst, because we talked about the departures in that midfield with Ellen Gibson and Desi Scott and big shoes to fill. And I think they lost that midfield battle in their first match away to Wanderers grounds where the tides rolled. But I mean, they showed up in terms of the middle of the park in this contest, didn't they, Sig?
Oh, yeah. And I think just to get back to that narrative, and I we talked about, Desi Scott and Ellen Gibson and holding down the fort in the midfield. And they have a lot of new players and a lot of them younger players like Kira Mellenhorst, like Sadie Waite. You've got Jung Min-young coming over from Korea, relatively new player on that national team. Mina Lee, obviously the veteran holding that midfield together, but there's a lot of change. And, you have to step into the professional ranks. It's not NCAA. It's not, the Korean professional league. It's different. So it takes you a little while. I didn't expect it to take like the second game to kind of get going, but Kira Mellenhorst for me was, I thought she showed some bright spots against Halifax in week number one. I thought we saw a glimpse of what she can do, but she really, really showed both offensively and defensively what she can offer the Ottawa Rapid and really connected well with Jung in the midfield. I thought that they were very good as well. Calgary made some mistakes and obviously made them pay for that. But the finishing was like her finishing was great. Like she didn't hesitate. It was her birthday.
I know. This is a thing I was going to add.
It was her birthday. So that's kind of exciting. And I think Katrina Peterson, said, and I know this from talking to Jess and Daniela, who were on the call for that match. Talking about the midfield, she's kind of like, the midfield's in the past. Desi, Ellen, great parts of our history, but we're moving forward. This is a new group. We have full confidence in them. And I can see why she said that.
Yeah. Before you jump in, Shireen, I just pulled up a graphic here that shows full time that 5-2 scoreline. So Forbes opened the scoring in the first minute. So this was a barn burner, but it was like bang, 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 like blinking, you're going to miss something. Then it was Doherty Howard, foul on O'Scott in the box. She buries the penalty. Mellenhorst gets on the board in the 25th minute, after she knots it up at 2, after Stewart, immediately following Doherty Howard scoring that pen, puts them ahead 2-1, and then it was all Rapid. Then it was Belzil in the 29th, Mellenhorst with their brace at 33, and Chu in the 63rd minute. So things kind of chilled out a little bit after a really intense start in this match.
Yeah, I was watching this, and I think I logged on in the second minute, and it was already 1-0, and I was texting you both at the same time, I think fully in capital letters as I do during that, because I have no chill.
It's an emergency.
And I was like, what? So Forbes, like, I don't know if it's the fastest goal in NSL history, because it was minute one. Or was
DB, DB might own that from year
I was going to say. Yeah. It could be. I have to do some fact checking there, but it was, I was listening to the match and I was putting my clothes away, like getting rid of winter stuff and trying to do that. And I couldn't get anything done because I was standing there like that meme. I'm just staring because I couldn't. And at one point, as you said, Wild was ahead. And I tweeted out, this match is rapidly becoming wild. And it was actually
slow
wild.
Clap, my friend.
Thank you. Thank
so
you.
Good.
I'm just, this environment encourages and emboldens my puns. So, but it was quite the match. I was watching with my son too. And he's like, holy crap, mama. And I was like, yeah, it's just, you were on the edge of your seat until I think it was 4-2 by Ottawa. Then Ottawa really got a hold of it. But it was the response was funny. I felt like we were watching table tennis in a way. Like the response back and forth was really, really intense. And I was not mad. Like, I love Megherty, Maggie Doherty Howard, who I call Megherty with so much love and affinity. Just the back and forth and the back and forth and the response. And I wasn't mad when Calgary went up 2-1. I'm like, but then, you know, that was short-lived. It was just, I had some concerns about race and net again, because now there's 7 goals in 2 matches let in. Yes, so
it is a concern. Absolutely right to point that out.
I did actually ask the club, like, Talbot was dressed, but was not selected. And I'm like wondering, that would be a great time. Like, I'm no professional women's soccer coach. However, I'm wondering if it's a good time to switch it up between the sticks.
And maybe it is. And like, you know, I don't think it's time to panic about Calgary either. You know, it's game 2. They're missing a lot of pieces. Let's not forget.
So many pieces. Yeah.
Michaela Moore came in, was on some limited minutes, but nice to see her come back into play. But I mean, Allie Hess, Maya Jones, Sarita Thurton, Collie Johnson was not available this weekend. So like, it's just like, the story of Calgary last season is kind of like permeating into this season. And I hope it's all minor injuries and that we'll see those players again soon.
Yeah, 100%. It was wide open, right? And it was because of some errors and the other team capitalizing. But the match itself was, as you mentioned, Shireen, like Signe and I were on the 7 p.m. TSN match and I was getting my makeup done. And then we were hearing the noise from the booth with Daniela and Jess and like the you know, the obviously the coverage where we're at Dome Productions. So there's a number of people working on the game with the audio. So you would hear an eruption. You're like, what's happening? Like, who's scoring? And yeah, so it was thrilling, right? So, I mean, sometimes you want the closely contested, sit in a deep block, be really well organized defensively, try to go for that clean sheet mentality. And sometimes you just, everybody's full throttle. And it seemed like at times nobody was defending.
One of the things I love about this season already, and Sig is very correct. I agree with Signe Butler. That's like mandatory to say during this podcast.
Yes.
Is truly the storylines. I remember after Halifax, I was at BMO Field and I was walking to the press room and I was almost like skipping because of the storylines. And I walked by Jose, who is head technical, what is his role? Head technical
VP
director?
Of sport.
VP of sport. So anyway, I walked by him and he and I were like,
Knowing smiles exchanged.
Knowing, like, because I love this stuff and I love that. And you're right, Signe, like, there's no time to panic for anyone, you know, even though BMO, I tweeted out BMO has yet to win at BMO Field and some members of the Vermilion Vanguard replied to my story going, we know. So shout out to them. I love them.
Yeah, and or even just, if I could just interrupt for a second, friend of the show, AC Lang of WSoccer.ca, give them a follow if you don't already, because it's the place for everything women's soccer, not just Northern Super League. But AC, who's in Vancouver now, was like, friends, is the curse broken? And I think the answer was fairly clear. Even people who are fans and in the Vermilion Vanguard were like, no, curse is not broken.
No.
A draw doesn't do it.
No, but this is something, and my prediction, because I'm going to be bold here, is this all this is going to do is light a fire under the belly of AFC Toronto. Like, this just continually encourages them. They meet these kind of standards. And Marco's responses in the presser were really, really interesting in terms of asking him about, and I'm skipping ahead and I'm sorry for that because like we haven't.
Okay, we'll loop back.
We'll loop back. It's just because I'm so excited. I'm thrilled, built to thrill. And we are thrilled. Dare I say we are thrilled, friends?
You can just say it.
I could just say it. So just the way that I had asked him if facing off Halifax was surprising, because do you consider it a new team? And he was really interesting. He's like, they were built well. They had the bones last year. So he's downplaying the fact that, I'm sorry, to me, they look like a completely different team.
Yeah,
and that's a fair assessment. So, yeah, they're absolutely like renewed, rejuvenated, revamped, all those things. Yes. So it was just, again, part of this storyline. I wasn't able to be on the media call after Ottawa, Calgary, but fantastic, fantastic stuff all around. Bravo, players. Bravo.
So, you know, in watching the match, I think the one thing that in Calgary's corner.
Yeah.
Is that there was a lot of chance creation.
I was going to say, I especially loved Bauckham as the target, Maggie Doherty-Howard going those deeper lying runs, plunging forward, probing forward, and then Keelan Stewart and Grace Doherty combining in that right flank. I thought there's a lot of promise there.
There's a lot of promise and a lot of, I thought they connected a lot better than I saw them in the latter half of the season, like in terms of the interchanges and stuff like that. So I think that there's a lot of positivity, even with a lot of players out right now. And like that's, I think that's what Sinead McSherry, the interim coach, was saying, that she's pleased with the chance creation, but it's that final, conversion,
yeah,
the final action, whether it's the final pass, the final conversion that they're missing right now, and they've been working a lot on it. And like my thing, like I think Jorian Bauckham, once she gets one goal, it's going to unlock something there. And
they need it to happen quickly, though.
You need it to happen quickly. And one thing I'd like to see, and like I'm not, you know, like I never played the striker role or anything like that, but just from, soccer aficionado, if I can call myself that.
You are, and an expert, and a pundit. Go on.
A pundit.
Yes,
She receives, like, I would almost like her to, like, when she receives the ball,
yeah,
I would almost like her to either one time, like, don't take an extra touch. I would like to see her, like, one time shots, or like that first touch has to set her up better. Because I think that she could be like one touch, boom. Like DB Pridham wastes no time. Like, she sometimes one time stuff. Like, I know she hasn't scored yet, but she's had some brilliant assists, I think, and secondary assists. I think that Bauckham, that maybe is the key to unlocking her up front.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you mentioned Pridham. Sorry, Sigs, just really quick. Like, while she wasn't on the score sheet, she had some assists, or the Forbes goal is engineered by that run. I loved, I keep wanting to call her Floriane Jourde, but she's not. Go Big Red, it's Florence Belzil. I thought Florence and her movement, drifting inside, receiving to ball, I think it was the second goal that they ended up scoring. It's the buildup from the back, the interchanging between Scott and Jung. Yes, it's Jung, right? The midfielder next to Mellenhorst. Receives it, gives it back to her. Looks like they're going to go to Harris. Chu bombs on, as they do. They build with the three, and then Chu flies really up on that left flank, allowing Belzil to drift inside to that half space. Receives to feet, and then it's Pridham and the way that she instinctively sniffs out the dangerous spaces. She pushes the back line really deep so that Forbes on the right-hand side is able to receive to feet almost as they enter the final third. So there's something happening there with DB leading the line. We saw it all last year, but that was absent in their first game of the season.
And DB moves without hesitation. Like, there's no, like, she knows what she's doing. Like, she, like, her soccer, like, IQ, I think that that's why you're seeing her with those national team appearances and getting that faith of Casey Stoney. It's like she moves without hesitation and she knows what she needs to do.
I wanted to just sort of add, like, the chance creation out of open play in terms of the fluidity of those movements is something we've seen. This isn't new for people that follow Rapid, because this is a continuation of what they did last year, but it's still really exciting. I loved the goal by Florence Belzil. I thought it was smart. I thought it was cheeky. I thought, like, they're so comfortable already. We're like two matches down. You can tell at how comfortable they are with each other and how well they know each other as teammates. Mm-hmm. And that's something that specifically, I don't know if it is attributed, last year they talked about this and attributed it to off-field connection, which I think really does help. Like, in, it's a boost in the beginning of the season. Don't forget, like, this is also something that is of note, that Toronto started off a little slow last year and ended up top of the table. So, you know, they didn't come out the gate running. So it is still early. I do have to say, though, I'm going to state the obvious. Elise Bennett has arrived.
Are just jumping all over.
You're jumping all over the place, Sorry.
I'm excited. I have no chill.
Should we move on to the next game? So Shireen's chill factor.
I guess not editorialize, but just add, kind of put a bow on that matchup, is that for Calgary, yes, there's glimmers of what's to come, a higher ceiling perhaps than we've seen through two, but the back line, man, you have to defend better it's too easy now for teams to just go through you when you're sitting deep, not just when you're stretched and maybe exposed in transition. So I think in particular, like Betteridge and James, they've done a serviceable job, but the back line in entirety has to be more solid, more convincing in the way that they're defending. Mm-hmm. And the goalkeeping has to be better, which Shireen already alluded to. So on that note, shall we go, Shireen?
Spoilers by
to
me.
Stade Boreal.
On y va, c'est parti.
On y va. So it was 4-0, as I mentioned off the top. So we saw Bennett in the 12th minute. We saw Boychuk get her brace and that, what we call it? It's her signature celebration, the round-off back tuck. So
good. 44th, great call, Sig.
It was Amy. Amy does the, what do you call it? The back Boychuk?
Yeah, the round-off back Boychuk. So we got so that in the 44th and 48th minute. So that is critical. We'll loop back to it. But the timing of those goals is like the nail in a coffin almost for the Rise, who are struggling. But then you concede a goal late in the first half and then right at the beginning of the second half. That's always going to be tough to manage. And then Paquin on the giveaway, just kind of icing on the cake in the 85th minute. So go on, Shireen. You're just chomping at the bit to talk about the Roses.
Elise Bennett, like, listen, we knew first match, she scored a brace. It would be fantastic. I thought Boychuk was a little quiet. She wasn't quiet this game. She wasn't quiet at all. And I love that. I love the energy coming out of there. I love I wasn't there, but I could feel the energy at Stade Boreal. Your both commentary was so on point. It was so exciting to watch it. And you know what? I love this. I also love the sellies, and we've seen some great sellies, but I love how after the flip, Boychuk runs to the bench. Yeah. She goes to, you know, Robert Sotoyou. She goes to the coach. She goes to the team. There's such a there's such a camaraderie there. And I love seeing that across the different teams and what that looks like. We knew that Pachurski would be effective. That's not a surprise. We knew that immediately. But it's so cool to be like, yeah, we called it. She's doing all the work. And we're like, we said this would happen. So thank you, Lisa Pachurski, for making our predictions correct.
For making us look SMRT.
Smart.
Smart.
I had to say it out. There is something about this team, the Montreal team, that is very exciting. And there is, has always been kind of like, we don't have to prove it to you, but there has been a type of, and Amy, we've talked about this on the podcast before, people sleep on women's soccer in Quebec and this country. And I'm so happy for the Roses. I'm so happy for them. I hope they're enjoying. And again, it's still very early in the season and they did quite well in the beginning of the season last year, but this feels a little bit different.
Yeah. And please don't hesitate to use budding when you're describing the Roses. Like, we are here for all of the puns and all of the blooming and all the flowering metaphors.
Are they thorny? I feel like Elise Bennett's going to be a thorn in the Golden Boot contender's side.
See, I love this. Yeah. A crown of thorns. No, but I mean,
are they are budding here
in terms of the menace, right? We saw it in the starts. They were obviously a team with a very clear identity. Sigs, you can jump in here, but the offense stagnated.
Oh.
Right? And so now, like, that is in full bloom very early on. So can they sustain it? That's a different story.
Yeah, I think one thing is, like, they've had a clear identity from the get-go. They love to play possession. They play beautiful football. I think anybody that watches the Roses play that, they know. But they have a tendency to be like, oh, we're playing beautiful football. Let's not play direct. And it's like, no. Like, that's part of the game, is you need to be direct sometimes. And I think that they've got that through their system. And Roberto Rossatoyou talks about giving freedom to the players. They have a system. They have a way they want to play, but the freedom is up to you. And I think it takes a little while for players to trust when it's time to use that freedom. Like, it's time, like, trust themselves and be brave to make a decision that may not fit within the system. You know what I mean? So I think playing some of those direct balls forward, having a true number nine that like, I love Elise Bennett in the box, like her goal this week. She basically was like, she knew she was timing her run. She was waiting. But she put her hand up. She's like, I'm here.
Like, yeah.
She's basically like, she put her hand, like it was like old school, like I'm here in the box. I'm putting my hand up for our listeners out there. And she put her hand up and it was like bang in the back of the net. Second header goal that she's had, you know, textbook finish. I don't think she needs many opportunities. You know, I think she's shown that she's very clinical. And what a lovely moment with her father.
Mm-hmm.
If you caught it, if you caught our broadcast, Mo Condon.
Who's in the stand, like every parent taking shitty iPhone pictures.
Yeah, totally. Edgar, the dad, who's like, I believe he's won a Super Bowl.
He's won a Super Bowl.
As a coach and one as a player. And she's talked a lot about how influential her mom and her dad were in terms of her career. You could just see the proud dad moment and he was quite emotional after the game when he was being interviewed, which is lovely to see too.
Yeah. So, but it just harkening back to the storylines, like that's exactly what you want, right? Like she's brought into this club with the NWSL experience overseas. You want her to be impactful immediately and she is delivered on all of that. And I love that she just has this commanding presence. And there's almost, I alluded to it on the call, it's almost like everybody's just in Elise Bennett's orbit. There's almost like a gravitational pull or like a field tilt towards her, where her hold up play, there's just a magnet on her foot. And that dictates a lot of how this team looks and the way that they're building up. I thought Bilbo was great in drawing players in and then spraying the ball back out, but they just had so much space to work with in that right channel, which brings us back to Pachurski. But the interchange between Pachurski, Chirim, and Minas was, I was just marveling at that the whole game, or especially in the first half, where the Rise just had nothing to counteract it.
No.
Shout out to Minas. I thought her service was excellent too. There was anticipation. Sometimes we see the pieces fitting in a certain way, but I felt that the Roses were reading the game so perfectly. Their game, it just sometimes things fit, and they just steamrolled all over the champions, essentially.
Yeah. So okay, the midfield. I mean, I thought they were so effective, and this week was the midfield were the star of the show across.
Yeah, I'm all so glad you games. Said that. Yeah,
that like across all the games, we had a hard time with our starting 11 this week. Because of that, but the midfield for Montreal, and you just talked about them. I'm wondering about the competition within that team and how much that's driving the play. So you've got, you know, Felicia Roy wasn't available. She had a little bit of a knock. Yeah. You've got Evelyn Badu, who just came into the fold, who is going to, we expect to see some great things from her as well. So, you know, that's going to be a headache for Robert Rossatoyou, I think, in the long run to be deciding who's on the pitch. But I think the players that you're seeing right now, they're laying down the gauntlet. They are like, this is my position. I'm not giving it up. I'm performing. It's going to be a real tough balance, I think, in that midfield.
One of the best headaches to have, right, as a coach, is that selection. Yeah. Whereas last year, I felt like you saw the drop off between their starting 11, maybe 12, maybe 13, if you're being generous. And then after that, it was a significant drop off. And now I think there's increased depth and competition across that roster and in every single post and every single position on that pitch. And I think the fact that they moved to a back three, we haven't talked about AB Seto. Like she's done incredibly well. Lucy Cappadona, Stephanie Hill, like anchoring all of the play and the way that they're building out. Anna Karpenko, back-to-back shutouts, right? So we're talking about the offense, but that doesn't happen without the solidity at the back. And then Megan Sauvé, who had surgery in the offseason, and she just looks reinvigorated to start the year as well.
100%.
There's a palpable joie de vivre that's emerging from this team. And it's so fun to watch them. There's just an exuberance. And it doesn't mean it's always going to be there. There will be ebbs and flows in every season and whatever. But
and teams will adjust to them, right?
Exactly.
Play each opponent five times. We will see adjustments.
Absolutely. And I think that's a good point, Ames, is that the adjustment to what we're seeing, because the AFC is absolutely going to have to readjust after facing Halifax. So that's like thematically something I think that's really like poignant this week is that teams will adjust, because it's for some of them, it's the first time they're obviously meeting those opponents, and we'll see that again, right? There's still teams that haven't played each other yet. They'll do that and they'll readjust as a result of what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to say a couple of things before we move on to that nil-nil draw, which was still a very exciting match in itself. Lots of big chances, huge performances in between the sticks on both sides by Cody Yard and Riley Foster Inman. But before we, and a fun game to call, Sigs, it should be said. But before we get to that, I just wanted to say about Evelyn Badu. We asked Robert Assatoyou about Badu. She had arrived. There had been some visa issues. And he said that she trained the whole week, but she looked tired. He said she potentially might have 15 minutes. But I think the luxury there with this type of, you know, impassioned dominant performance where you run the champs and you roll them by 4 goals is it allows you to keep her on the bench. You don't have to use her. But I think that we probably see her this coming week. And to the Rise, I was impressed with the post-game press conference where we saw Enya Heinermöller and Quinn step up. And those are not easy moments to step into where you're, you know, under the spotlight and the microscope and you're being challenged because you're the defending champs and it's a really poor performance, but there's no panic, right? They lost some big pieces. I think you're seeing them readjust to that. And it might take a little while, but I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah. And they still are missing people right now. Like that's, you know, Latifa Abdu wasn't available this week. Oh gosh, Mia Ponte still, she has a knock. She's coming, she's returning, she's rehabbing from, she's on loan from AS Roma. Francois still at school at Harvard. So, you know, like it's, and the injuries at center back. I think that, you know, I was actually, the two positions I think that are, I didn't have an issue with the center backs. That wing back, those two wing back positions, Okamoto didn't have her best game at all. I've seen her play better. And Jalen Wright is struggling, I think, on that right side. You know, I hate to say it. She's a young pro. But like it's a lot when you have players like Elise Bennett and Tanya Boychuk coming at you.
Yeah, and it was a relentless attack by the Roses. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's move on to our last fixture of this past weekend, week 2 in NSL. So again, we alluded to it. It was full-time nil-nil between AFC Toronto hosting the Tides at BMO Field. Soon to be called.
Graphic. I like the graphic. Two midfielders. Yeah, well, two midfielders who have really stood out this season.
And somebody that we wanted to talk about in Olivia Chisholm.
Yes, I thought she was outstanding. AFC Toronto is a big squad to be on. There's some big names, there's some big performances, and I thought she held her own. Mm-hmm. I thought that she played big. And I thought that in that space, I thought that also it was very obvious Halifax was surprising. The back line of Halifax isn't to be toyed with. I think they're finding their own. I think, you know, between Cardoza and Allen, who have talked about on the show already, I think Riley Foster Inman possesses a confidence of somebody with international professional experience. She actually said in the postgame presser, she has learned from some of the best in the world. She's played in Europe. Irrespective of the injury and the incredible story of her recovery, she comes with a do not fuck with me attitude, which is so great. I don't see that level of confidence in Cody Yard yet, but I think it's coming. But just Foster Inman comes with a presence, truly, which is really, it's really interesting to see. Also, the cohesiveness and what they're talking about. I thought that there were some mistakes. Obviously, on the bat, we had a couple of goal line saves. Shout out to Allen. And also, I think, who else was it? Backline save. It was Cardoza. Who also,
and Barnett on the other side.
And yes, exactly. So it was a couple of those that we saw, which were really thrilling. But And it's not as if Toronto didn't press. It's not as if they didn't try. It's not as if their movement wasn't smart. There was a control and a pacing that Halifax had that I haven't seen. They also played on in this incredible stadium, and they looked, what I like to say, look comfortable there.
They know how to play on grass.
They know how to play on grass.
The pitch runs quick. Marco Milanovic has talked about that, but I think it's a style that suits this revamped Tide squad.
Absolutely. And that particular field, little Trounstone, there was a match the night before.
Yeah.
And Marco alluded to that in the postgame presser, said that it was a little, but there was a
ball that stopped. Ball that stopped in the box.
Oh my God. How about Warren that?
Rose on the attack. And I was like, it basically just stopped a scoring chance.
Yeah. It rolled through a puddle where like one kind of line of like the darker pitch and like the grass met the other one in the way that it's mowed. And there's just a gigantic puddle there and it just completely stopped. It was so strange.
So strange that we paused awkwardly.
I thought Shireen was continuing there.
Sorry, Shireen, we interrupt you with a story about a puddle.
Yeah.
No. It's totally fine. There was something very not new, but just something really refreshing. I'm not going to say that AFC Toronto was humbled, but I think there was sort of like a new, like, I don't know, surprise might be the right word. I asked and Marco just was like, no, this is the way it is, as he's supposed to as head coach. Mm-hmm. But there was ways in which I don't think AFC Toronto was prepared for what they were going to face because they hadn't seen it from Halifax. And that's an unsurprising thing. Sarah Rollins, who continues to be pretty solid in the back for Toronto, said that a clean sheet is the only
something different, equally thrilling
different. That's only after like eating kale and whatever, I don't know. So never mind, we're not doing that. We're absolutely not doing castor oil.
Eat your fiber, people.
She said there was nothing. Like the only redeeming thing about this match was a clean sheet. And as a defender, that matters, right? But they're looking for the 3 points. And if they don't get the 3 points, it's not a half glass full. However, you know, clean sheet. So it wasn't a loss, but it wasn't a win.
That's right.
And
the curse continues.
Is this an appropriate time to bring out some jewelry celebrations?
Oh, yes, it could be. But again, shouting out the midfield, looping back to Olivia Chisholm, who got 60 minutes in her first match of this season. Milanovic was quite happy with her, but I think she fastens the midfield unit. I think that she screens the back line. Her timing was better in the way that she was receiving as they were building out and trying to progress the ball. So listen, no one's going to be Emma Regan. We know this, but Olivia Chisholm has been big for them, to steal your expression, Shireen. But that midfield was great because another strong performance by captain Nikki Small. And then on the other side, I thought the trio of Cho, Benatti, and Lemire were excellent again for the Tide Sigs.
Yeah, I think that AFC Toronto keyed in on Lemire early in the match, but we saw her unlock later in the match. So she's a key factor. I think teams will take that into account. But very, I like what Stephen Hart said about her, that, you know, her ceiling is really high. She's a 27-year-old pro. She's played in Germany. She's played also somewhere else over, so I think Portugal. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think you're right. Mm-hmm.
You know, has some experience, but she still has room to grow.
Yes.
Which is really cool to see. You know, that, you know, in your late 20s, come on, she's like 27. I'm 50.
Sally O'Malley.
Yeah, so young. But, you know, that there's room to grow as a professional. I think that's great. Amy, you said this on the call about Benatti, like just getting into those spaces, those little pockets, making people think about the run. You know, it's not necessarily about getting the ball, right? I mean, we know this as players and fans. It's not necessarily about getting the ball. And that brings me to Cho, who is doing stuff off the ball that does not get enough credit for, I don't think. But when she showed and when she had the opportunity, the technical ability, the IQ, the fact that she's 37, knows how to take care of her body. She's played in the big environments in her life, played in the WSL, played in the Women's Championship. She's played in those big environments. with bigger clubs. She's come here to Halifax and taken this leadership role. And Stephen Hart, just to use another expression of his, because he's so great at giving these expressions to us, right? If you've ever spoken to him. If you're in a dressing room with Cho and you don't take something from that, you're not here to learn. And I think that's very, that's a poignant way of saying that this is a player that you can really, gauge a lot from. So, yeah.
Sets the tone in there. Like she breaks up play, but she's so efficient and so clever in her movement and like her recoveries and then quickly head on a swivel, restarting play, maintaining possession, especially in those tight areas. I think you saw with AFC, they frequently overwhelm teams just in their numbers, the way that they have their shape. They have tons of players of quality, but just sheer numbers in the middle of the park. So usually that's where they're dominant and a lot of their success comes from there. But I think you're seeing the tides, and it's backed by veterans like Cho and Lemire, a little bit older, who have an understanding of the game that's setting their team up for success. So they're not just reeling and adapting and responding to the opponent. They're able to dictate a little bit. And that's why I think you saw Stratagakis maybe not have the same effect on the game or the same impact on the game, because she spent a lot of the time defending.
Defending. Yeah, she did. Yeah. And I mean, she, for me, I would say the first game was outstanding. It's kind of hard to top a goal and assist. She was still great. Mm-hmm. And their whole midfield was great. Like, I think it was a battle of the midfields across all three games. I already said that already. Yeah. So just and repeating myself.
Lauren Rowe, I thought we go back to Shireen here with a couple of things to wrap it up here with AFC, but interesting storylines and narratives happening. Esther goes down with injury. Rowe comes in for, and Rowe, I thought, was tremendous over the course of the rest of the match.
I love Lauren Rowe, and Marco said after the match that she was going to be a part of this game, that she was going to play, that she was going to get minutes. We just didn't realize how much. I mean, Okoronkwo had a great chance. She was stopped by Foster Inman. Like, big saves from Riley, like big saves. And then Rowe coming in, that energy level didn't drop, because sometimes in substitutions you see a change. That kept going. And mm-hmm. She's fast as fuck. God, Lauren Rowe is fast. And we know that. She's absolutely. And so that was, contributed greatly to, did her role, did her piece, matched the intensity with which she came in. I think that was as a big thing. I mean, I love some cheekiness, y'all. I love some cheekiness. Is that a good segue, Ames?
Sure. What did you want to do first? Do you want to do post-game or did you want to do the jewelry?
Yeah, I wanted to touch upon a little bit of some jewelry. I'm a little bit of a jewelry fan myself.
And then cue me for the audio.
Yeah. So I would like to talk about some not on the pitch happenings as a little bit of happened to be on my phone. And so the Halifax Tides actually came up with this, which was a ring. I don't know if you can see it. It is
opener,
ruiner of the home opener. The score is inside. This was posted to their main account. And I managed to screenshot it, as one does, because everything lives on the internet. And then it was gone. It was gone, yeah. And I reached out to the Tides, and for whatever reasons, it came down. But I thought it was hilarious and cheeky. So it wasn't just the broads who were, having a good time with some rings that were made in celebration. I thought this was hilarious, and so I wanted to mention that. Another thing that I thought was particularly hilarious is I'm that person, because I nerd out, who reads every presser. If you're a comms person in the NASL, email me, because I will read those press releases. I read everything. So just as Tiffany Kerman, some people might not know this, you may not be aware of this, maybe through social media, our listeners are now. But Zoe Burns actually performed and co-wrote a song for AFC Toronto, which was put on Instagram later. I thought it was pretty catchy. I thought it's aligned with the vibe of AFC Toronto. Yeah. I think Tiffany Cameron's song Victory is league-wide and mentions every team, and I thought it was really well done. But Zoe Burns is just a love letter to Toronto and AFC Toronto, and which is totally fair. And so it was bigged up, right? You know, it was something that the team obviously wants people. So I asked I asked Olivia Chisholm and Sarah Rollins about it.
Question unrelated to Match. What do you both feel about Zoe's tune?
Zoe's tune?
The song at the beginning of the game, that was Zoe.
I didn't even hear.
You hear?
I didn't know.
She's very talented.
Wait, was she, her song was on there?
Sorry. I'll ask us next time.
Pre-game was pretty locked.
Yeah, wasn't even paying attention to movies.
I wasn't, obviously. Great song.
I've listened to her songs before on Spotify, though.
Me too, they're good.
I have two.
Yeah.
Okay. I just didn't notice that.
Yeah.
So apparently that was played in the change room before. What you cannot hear is the laughter erupting in the press room. You can't hear that part in that recording. And it's actually, it's quite funny because they look genuinely shocked when I asked. And and it was funny because Marco jumped in to really quickly be like, no, it's a great song. It's fabulous and blah, blah, corrected. But Chisholm looked literally like, what are you talking about? And then corrected. And then as AFC does, they clean it up quickly and both said they do follow her and listen to her on Spotify, totally fine. But I thought it was a really funny moment. And then I was walking by some league people at the end and they're like, how did they not know about this song? So that's maybe, those are maybe internal discussions, but you know me, I will be out there sleuthing.
We love the sleuthing. We love the, on the AFC note just there, like, you know, you're locked in pregame, but like that they didn't know, like, Zoe, yeah, like they listened to her on Spotify. She has like recorded music and released it. And we asked her before the game there, Amy, about the song. And she's really excited about it. She's really proud of it. Toronto's her lucky city, she says. So I'll have to get to the bottom of why it's her lucky city. But she feels...
Follow-up questions.
Yeah, yeah. We have to... Exactly. I should have had a follow-up there. And then on the rings note, you know, like it's cheeky. It's fun. I am a person of... I like the spirit of the game. Okay. I like, for lack of a better word, sportsmanship, which I don't quite have the gender, you know, equivalent to that. So I always say spirit of the game. And that was not within the spirit of the game for me. Mm. It's funny. It's funny to like post that in the dressing room, but I don't think it's appropriate to publicly post that. Everyone's making fun of AFC Toronto for having these rings as being the Shield winners. Mm-hmm. Like literally every team is making fun of them. I don't even know why they got rings. I think it's a sponsored thing, whatever, like whatever their decision is to have their rings, that's fine. But like all the other teams can make fun of them for it. Just keep it within your dressing room. That's my nod on that.
Otherwise it's motivation. It's bulletin board material, right?
That's what it means.
Yeah, like, there you go.
Right? Unneeded motivation.
On that note, friends, let's move to Jesus Christ, 47 minutes in almost. Broadcast week 2, best 11. So instead of going, actually, I'll go through it real quick for our audio listeners.
It's Lisa Machursky's picture.
This is the only one available from the Montreal Roses. So work with me, comms people, and the, you know, putting out the media guides. Could have one that's not Lisa Pachursky looking like she's either injured or celebrating would be phenomenal. But this is our best 11 of week 2. I'll go through it real quick. So in the net, we've got Foster, Inman, and then we have a back three of Valerond, Rollins, and Allen. So two ties representatives, and then heart of that back line is Sarah Rollins from AFC. Then we've got Forbes from Ottawa. We've got Cho from the Tides, Mellenhorst, who had an outstanding game with that brace on her birthday for the Rapid, Lisa Pachursky, who again, I've got her on the left here, but we're just shoehorning players in who performed very well. So she's on the left instead of being on the right. Chloe Minas, who is tremendous for the Roses. And then more Roses representation across the front in Boychuk, who had that brace, and Elise Bennett, who continues to be the best front runner in this league. So anybody that you guys want to shout out that we maybe haven't had an opportunity to discuss, or just somebody that you want to underline and restate their brilliance in week 2?
I'll go. I wanted to shout out somebody who's not on the 11.
Sure.
And no, it's not Maggie Doherty Howard, guys. Stop making fun of me. Although she was very good in that game.
You will always go to bat for MDH.
But and she was great in the game. But, you know, like they lost. So there you go. Yeah. Colby Barnett. Shout out for her. Obviously, left side. Just such a tireless worker. Created a lot. I believe she hit the post. Slid into left back as well.
When Lantaine got subbed in.
Lantane mm-hmm. got subbed in. So showing that flexibility, obviously that natural left foot is, and her delivery, her service has been much improved this season. So I would give a nod definitely on the bench to Colby Barnett of AFC Toronto.
I like that.
I would like to just shout out Olivia Chisholm, and it was tough. And just to reflect off what both of you were saying, it was tough in the midfield. If it was up to me, it would be like a 1-7-3 or whatever.
Didn't you send us one that was like a 1-7? Like
it was a 1-7 because I was like, look, I think they deserve that shout out. And one of the things about the 11, your best 11, it doesn't have to be in a traditional football setup, right? This is how my head thinks. Those players were worthy of a mention. So I'm really glad you said that too, Sig. But for me, it was Chisholm. I thought she was outstanding. And someone who doesn't necessarily get those amount of minutes as a younger player, but I thought she held her own and played big. And so I just not mentioned here because these players, it is Montreal heavy, as is deservedly so, richly deserved by the Roses. Forbes coming in with -7 and scoring like was just amazing. Like literally, I just incredible. So yeah, it was fun. This is fun. And I liked our banter about this because I think we switched this best 11 a couple times at least.
Graphics today.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, man. I think this is good though. Last week I had the faces in, but didn't have names. I think it's important for the league. Like there are a lot, we live in an echo chamber where everybody is well-versed in NSL, but it might not be the case. So we put this out there and we talk about the standouts of week two, and then you attach a name to the face. Cause I can remember in year one, that inaugural game, getting a starting 11 from the Vancouver Rise, that was just headshots. And I was like, I don't know who these people are. Thank you. I know who like three of them are. Please fill in the blanks. So welcome to new fans, people who want to get to know the league. You can do it by way of the broadcast. Tune in to all of our official broadcasts, whether it's on CBC or on TSN or TSN Plus or our friends in the US on ESPN. Hop on the bandwagon that is NSL because it is good football and you need to get to know these athletes. I wanted to shout out really quick Shea and Allen. So I thought back-to-back really good performances. I thought uneven in the first half where she was more often than not the architect of her own demise, but she's got the pace and the wherewithal to recover, to make up for her own mistakes oftentimes. And I thought Cardoza, who was quite bright in the first match at Wanderers Grounds, made some mistakes and she was pushed and she was pressed. You saw that ball in behind to Hunter. You saw Okoronkwo get in behind. And for anybody who's an AFC Toronto fan, you must be dealing with some PTSD because it looked eerily familiar to the breakaway that Esther got in the final where she desperately wanted it on her left foot. And but again, shout out to Foster Inman, who came up big, got an important hand to the kind of half volley by Hunter, able to save it. And then Allen saves it off the line after the fact, after she intercepts it. And then another big save on Okoronkwo. So big goalkeeping week, but big midfield week. And we're always happy to talk about the midfield here in the Broads. So was there anything else, you guys, that I missed perhaps?
We're all wearing hats today.
That's true.
For our listeners. Hats.
Okay, I did want to just real quick, if I may, Ames. I don't know if you can see this. And for people who can't, I'm wearing a really beautiful little beaded dress. Today is May 5th. We're recording on May 5th. And it is the National Day of Awareness of Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. So it's Red Dress Day. And this is a really beautiful little pin I got from a Mohawk woman, but she was in Haudenosaunee territory in BC. And she had explained to me, she was doing some land defending there. And I was walking along the boardwalk because Vancouver's so fancy and there's like cherry blossoms. You could just look at them for free. It's like this ridiculously beautiful city. And I got this and it's just a really important memory from that day and from that moment and just to keep that. And if we're in a league for women by women. And I think it's important to keep this stuff around us. I don't know if there are any Indigenous players in this league. Like that's something I need to ask. I don't know if off the top of your heads you know if there are any. I know there are in PWHL and I know in WNBA, but not in the NSL as of yet. Or there could be, I could be mistaken about this, but irrespective, this is all our collective responsibility and it's important for us to know. So I'm just adding that in. So if you want to go look about it, you can go look it up. There's so many Indigenous sites. They can go and read more about Red Dress, the campaigns and what they mean.
Thanks, Shireen. That's terrific. I think that'll be our social clip of the day, because very important to use our platform to talk about these types of things, and also the league itself. Like, yes, women can play domestically in Canada Professional Soccer League, but we still talk about those issues and use the platform that we have and the league has in order to amplify such things. And just to undercut that a little bit with the silly story, when Sigs and I were in a booth for that 0-0 draw, we were doing some pre-records and I sneezed and my headset flew off. And then I was in laughter and or convulsions of laughter after the fact. And Signa and I were trying to recover because we were underslept from the night before. And that was a very silly story. We shared actually one on socials, which is us in the booth and our like myriad eating. Of notes.
I'm What's eating that? And I'm wearing like a Toronto Tempo shirt. And I'm like, no,
I have an NSL shirt on.
I loved the women's crossover thing. I thought it was so great that you were wearing that. And last week I was wearing a Tempo hat, I think. I wearing a Tempo hat? I can't remember.
You were, no, I think, on the broadcast. Yeah, you were. On the broadcast, you were wearing a Tempo
hat. Was that a hat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always a lot going on. I've got like a headset, glasses, and there's so much happening up here.
I like it. Well, in between years, too.
In mind, Shireen.
So, yeah, no, but it was, I think it's really important, and I say this all the time, that people see how talented you both are and what you do in the booth. Because like for people out there and young women in particular, if you're listening to these two experts, you're listening to they're incredible. Try to be like Amy Walsh and Signe Butler, please, because we need you out here.
Should we tell people why we were sleep deprived?
Yes, we should.
So we were sleep deprived because we called the game at 7 o'clock at night. But then I made these guys, as in Amy, Kate McKenna, and Erin McLeod, who is in town because she's going to be part of our broadcast this season. Spoiler alert. Actually, that's not
spoiler. Announced.
It's already known.
It's announced.
But I made them come for a charity dance my friends put on every year. Yes, a dance, like a DJ, you know. So we called boy did we dance. And it's called we went for a quick hard dance, as we called it, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. A quick hard dance, because it was a hard out 11:30. So we did, and there was moves and there was videos taken, which we are not showing.
And there were chips as well.
There was chips. And it was good times was had by all. Shireen, we missed you, because I know they didn't play any electric slide type music, but I know you would have been down. I know you would have been down.
I would have. Next year, I'm there at this charity. My favorite thing's chips, you guys, and dancing with a DJ. those are my favorite. This sounds like the birthday party I want for my 50th. This is exactly what this sounds like.
I feel like that's do that. And then we can also maybe have like a broadcast theme, like event. And we could have broads, and it'll be a bash, and we'll have chips, and there'll be dancing.
January.
And there'll be all, maybe, and some football. And we'll do something like 100%. That, and fans can come and join us.
Next January. Mark it in their calendars.
So let's do it. I also wanted to say the little social clip that we did of us in the booth for that 0-0 draw between AFC and the Tides. Our friend and friend of the show and wife of the one, the only Diana B. Matheson, Anastasia Busis, she commented, because she's your partner in a booth for speed skating and Olympics, and she's a tremendous host herself. But she said underneath, because you had your Tempo hoodie, then you unzipped it to reveal the Northern Super League t-shirt. And then Anastasia wrote, and she's wearing a speed skating.
Oh, no, she's frozen. Oh.
She's frozen.
She's frozen when she's delivering.
Oh, no.
You froze.
Where did I?
Where did the joke? Out? This is the hilarious part.
Oh, shit. Okay. So retake. Maybe I can clean this up and post. So unzip the Tempo hoodie to reveal the NSL t-shirt. And then Anastasia's line was, you're wearing a speed skating onesie underneath the t-shirt.
It was not.
But maybe you were.
Maybe.
Okay. On that, friends. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. And here in the Broads, we hope that we helped you to broaden your horizons today with these three. So on behalf of Sigs, Shireen Salty Ahmed, and myself, Amy Debs Walsh, cheers for watching and listening. And we will catch you for week 3 of NSL action. So make sure you tune in to all the broadcasts. So this Wednesday, we're Tuesday recording today on the 5th. So on Wednesday, the 6th, will be the midweek clash between the Rapid and the Rise. And then look for the other two matchups happening this coming weekend. Thanks, guys. Catch you next time.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com to sign up for our newsletter.
It's been a splash.
So long.